other than the name of Jesus. I don't suppose there's a more precious word in all the Bible than the word grace. A good definition of grace is God's infinite blessings freely given to those who deserve infinite wrath. Put another way, grace means getting something good when you don't deserve it, and sometimes you might even deserve something bad. Or you could just simply say, grace is God's unmerited favor. On the human level, every one of us needs grace from time to time. Every one of us blows it from time to time, and we deserve the negative consequences, and we long for someone just to extend grace to us. Let me give you some examples. For an employee, grace is your boss ignoring a strict no-exception company policy and letting you slide in to work late one day and you not getting fired. For a college student, grace is your teacher throwing out the lowest grade you've made in the semester when that, by the way, you didn't study for that test in the first place, and that F would have caused you to flunk the course. But grace caused you to pass the course. For a high school student, grace is your teacher not confiscating your cell phone after they've told you 3 times to put it up. For an elementary school student, grace is your teacher smiling and giving you a hug when for the 3rd time you've told her your dog ate your homework and she acts like she believes you. Well, if you're a husband, grace is your wife giving you a smile and a hug when for the 3rd time you forgot to turn off the stove and burned up the kitchen. And if you're a wife, grace is for the 3rd time you have backed over the mailbox and your husband still gives you a smile and a hug. So you see, we all need grace. And by the way, the next time somebody needs grace from you, you just remember that sooner or later, you better give it because you're going to need grace from somebody else. We all need grace. May I say this? As much as we need grace from one another, we need grace from God so much more than that. So much more than that. Friends, if we got what we deserve from God, every one of us would suffer in hell forever and ever. All of us have broken God's holy laws. And the penalty for breaking God's laws is eternal death. Romans 3:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But praise God, when sin was our ruin, grace was our rescue. God says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, today we're going to examine a portrait of grace. And I want to tell you, it is a portrait that is beautiful. It is the portrait of a young lady named Mary. It's one of the most beautiful pictures in the whole Bible. And the most beautiful thing about this is, this portrait, God wants to be of you just as well as Mary. And so, get your Bibles, please, and let's read about this portrait of grace. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I would like for you to please stand in honor of God's Word as I read, and you follow along in your Bible or on the screen, beginning in verse 26, Luke chapter 1. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The angels answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, before we begin this marvelous critique of grace, this picture of grace, this picture of Mary, we need to understand, first of all, an unchangeable law of grace. And that law is, grace is always, always irrational. Grace just doesn't make sense. Luke writes that Gabriel brought his message to a little girl in a town named Nazareth. Now, we know what Gabriel told Mary. He told her that God was about to send His Son into this world as the long-awaited Messiah who would love the world and save all the world, who would believe on Him, save every person from their sins, who would just place their faith in Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation. And He said, You're going to be this baby's mother. And you see, that made no sense. That made no sense at all. First of all, you see, there's no one who had a greater pedigree or a greater purpose in life than the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody ever came from where Jesus came when He came into this world. Before Jesus came into the world, He was sitting on the throne of heaven and the angels were worshiping Him 24/7. And nobody ever deserved a more noble entrance into the world. And nobody ever deserved a more noble environment to grow up in than did Jesus. That's why when the angel told Gabriel, He's going to be your child, you're going to raise him in Nazareth, that made no sense at all. Nazareth of Galilee, the region ruled by heathen Gentiles, the place where there was a heathen temple. Do you remember what Nathanael said about Nazareth when Philip said, We've seen the Messiah. He has come, the one Moses prophesied. Nathanael said, You remember, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, why did he say that? Well, it's because, as author G. Campbell Morgan said, Nazareth was a hotbed of corruption. Surely there was a better place for the Son of God to be raised in than Nazareth, that wicked city. Listen, if you were to ask any upstanding Jew where he should have been born and raised, they would have given you one answer. Jerusalem! That's where he ought to have been born. The holy city. You know what the Bible says about Jerusalem? It says it is the city of David. It is the city that God chose and the city that God loves. It even says that Jerusalem was the dwelling place of God. And Jesus Himself calls Jerusalem the city of the great King. And even though Jerusalem was corrupt to the core when Jesus was born, it was still the center of Jewish spiritual life. But God said, Nope, it's not going to be Jerusalem. It's going to be Nazareth. Why? Because you see, grace is irrational. Grace makes no sense. Grace reaches down to places where nobody else will go. Now let me just throw this out to you this morning. You may be in a place where nobody wants to go. It might have been years since somebody, or maybe then your immediate family, has ever knocked on your door and asked if you had a need they could meet. And you may just kind of feel isolated because nobody wants to come to your house. I want to tell you, grace goes to places where nobody else will go. And grace will visit you if you'll open up your life and be willing to receive it. But you see, grace is irrational for another reason. It not only goes to places where nobody else will go, but it reaches down to people nobody else will love. Grace reaches down to people that you would least expect somebody to care about and somebody to love. To those who are least worthy, which, by the way, is every one of us. None of us deserve grace. Not a one of us deserve God's grace. But who would have thought that Mary would have been chosen to be the mother of Jesus? Listen, a king, don't you think a king deserves someone of kingly descent? Certainly they do. But Mary was not of kingly descent. Listen, Mary and Joseph were so poor that when they went to dedicate Jesus, they could not even bring the normal offering of a lamb or of a goat. They had to bring God's substitute, which was either two turtle doves or two pigeons. They were too poor to even bring a normal offering. That's how lowly Mary was. But it didn't matter to God that Mary was lowly. It didn't matter to God that she was from Nazareth. Because you see, grace is irrational. Grace makes no sense. It does stuff you wouldn't even think would be imaginable. There was nothing rational at all about God choosing Nazareth nor choosing Mary. It was all by grace. But listen, that little teenage girl got some grace in her life, and it was unbelievable the blessings that God gave her through grace, unmerited favor. Now, this is what I want you to take home today. This is the message I want you to take home with you today, every one of you. God's grace brings great blessings. Don't forget that. God's grace brings great blessings. And if you're God's child today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are saved, listen, God has poured out on you just as much grace as He poured out on Mary, and He longs to bless you just as much as He did that little girl. Now, we're going to review those blessings. God's grace was poured out on Mary. God's grace is poured out on you as God's child. So what are the blessings that God gave Mary by His grace, and what blessings does God have for you? Well, let's just take a look in the Word and see. The first blessing I want you to notice that God gave Mary was back in verse 28. Let's read it. Look what He says. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, beloved, in that little statement, there is an ocean full of meaning. Gabriel said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." And it's interesting that those words, "highly favored," are a form of the Greek word grace. In fact, that's the reason translators use that word. Because you see, God's grace brings great favor. But I want you to notice what the favor was right here. What was the favor? The favor was, the angel said, "Mary, the Lord is with you." That is the first blessing of grace. Grace is the delight of God's presence in your life. Listen, let me tell you something, beloved. Unless you stay crawled up in your bed every day, half the day, and then get up and stay crawled up in your lazy boy in front of the television the rest of the day, you live in a world that is not kind. You live in a world that does not care about you. Now, I know that a few people in this world do care. There are Christians out there that genuinely care. Some of you have public jobs, and you care about the people you encounter every day, and I understand that. But by and large, service industry personnel, retail employees who really care, are about like wildflowers growing on Mount Everest. You don't see many of them. Even people in the medical profession, even people in social services, oftentimes don't care. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many of you have ever felt like your lawyer didn't care? Listen, let me tell you, if you ever talk to lawyers, many of them, trying to get a hold of them on the phone is like trying to call the president. People just don't care in this world. But you see, we shouldn't be surprised at this. Do you know where most of these people are coming from that you relate to that don't care, I'll tell you, they act and speak out of the overflow of an unregenerate heart that's never experienced the love of Jesus, and they don't even have the capacity to care for you. They go to work every day with stuff they're dealing with in their own lives that's got them too stressed out to care about your needs. And you and I have to navigate through this world every day. And I'm telling you, it is a blessing to know that you do not have to walk alone in a world like that, because the Lord is with you if Jesus is in your life. That is the grace of God, that He's with you every minute of every day. I want you to think about Mary for a moment. Think about Mary. Think about what she was going to have to endure because she was going to bear God's Son. The very first thing was facing Joseph. The angel did not say one word about how Joseph was going to react. He didn't say, Mary, don't worry about it. He's still going to be there. No. She didn't know if she was going to have a husband or not. She did not know if she was going to birth God's Son all alone or not. Then it was facing her parents. And then facing all those good citizens of Nazareth that whispered about her behind her back. And sometimes probably to her face. Do you know, she never outgrew that. All her life long, she had to deal with the gossip because she bore God's Son and didn't have a husband. The Pharisees derided Jesus. And you know what they said? You were born of fornication. You see, that was really more of a disrespect to her than it was Jesus. Your mother was a slut. Jewish literature tells us even after the time of Jesus, they still talked about Mary being one who bore an illegitimate child. And can you imagine how Mary felt at the cross, looking up and seeing her only son hanging there, dying? Friends, let me tell you, what if she didn't have God's presence in her life? I want to tell you, the highest joy, the highest favor of God you can have walking through this world is just to know, Jesus is with me. Listen, if Jesus is with you, if you know He's with you, you can always say, when I'm weary, Jesus is my strength. When I'm sad, Jesus is my joy. When I'm afraid, Jesus is my peace. When I've sinned, Jesus is my righteousness. When I'm in danger, Jesus is my protector. When I'm poor, Jesus is my provider. When I'm doubting, Jesus is my assurance. When my path is unknown, Jesus is my guide. When I'm sick, Jesus is my great physician. When I'm lonely, Jesus is my constant companion. When I'm victorious, Jesus is still my highest reward. And when I'm dying, Jesus will be my eternal life. Let me tell you, friends, there's no greater thing in this world than to know He is with me. Oh, what a gift of grace is the delight of God's presence. Do you have that sweet presence today in your life? I hope you do. There's another gift of grace that Mary had. Not only is grace the light of God's presence, but God also gave her the display of His power. When Gabriel told her that God's plans was for her as an unwed mother to be the mother of His Son, her first response was, "How? I don't have a husband." Now let me say this. This is totally opposite of Zacharias' response. Now Zacharias, which we talked about a week or two ago, said the same thing. He said, "How?" But you see, that was totally different. Zechariah said, "How?" But he responded in unbelief. He was just not really sure he and his wife Elizabeth could have a baby. They were just too old. But Mary's response was totally different. She never doubted that God would give her a son. She knew He could do it. But in her mind, her thinking was this: God's got to perform a miracle here. But what's He going to do? I don't have a clue. But she knew He was going to do it. Let me just throw in a sidebar here. Young people, children, it doesn't matter how young you are, you can have the faith better and stronger than an old person. Don't think you've got to wait to grow up to be a committed, strong Christian. Mary didn't have to wait long to find out the answer. Gabriel told her that she would become pregnant by the power of God. And that's why Jesus could literally, truly be called the Son of God, because God was His Father. But lest Mary was tempted to waver in her faith, God gave her a little faith boost. Gabriel said, look, Mary, if you begin to doubt this thing, just look back. Your cousin Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant right now. And so God gave her a faith boost. And then He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And the unspoken words were, even a virgin birth. And Mary knew in her heart, He's telling the truth, and I believe it. And not too long after that, she felt that first little kick in that tummy, and she knew from experience that God's power, supernatural power, is real, and it was real in her life. Beloved, let me tell you something. You and I have a Heavenly Father who is unleashing His supernatural power in His children's lives all the time. If we ask for testimonies, some of you could say, I know God healed me. You got a touch from God on your body, and you know to this day it was supernatural. Some of you have had a financial miracle, probably. A check's come in the mail, and you didn't know where it came from. Nobody knew you had a financial need, and it just came and pow, God met a need perfectly. God has delivered some of you from a serious injury or even death. I hear it all the time. I hear folks in car wrecks, other wrecks, and they say, I should have been hurt bad. I should have been dead. And you know God spared you. Some of you have had a word of encouragement, and it was supernatural at the perfect time, and God gave it, and you know God gave it. I remember a few years ago, getting up one morning, and man, I needed encouragement. It's one of those down days. I was discouraged. I got up feeling bummed out. The devil was shooting fiery darts at me, and my armor wasn't on, and he was hitting the mark. Well, as I always do, unless it's a rare occasion, the first thing I do when I get up is get in the Word and go to prayer. And I did that morning. And so, had my quiet time and closed my Bible, and those old horrible clouds of discouragement were still just hanging heavy right over my head. About 20 minutes later, the phone rang. And it was from a friend of mine. The call was from a friend of mine in Tennessee I'd heard from for a long time. We got to talking. He said, how you doing? And I told him. I don't remember anything in the conversation but six words. After we talked for a while, he said, Mike, I had to call you. Now, I knew why he had to call. He had to call because the God of heaven had spoken to him and wouldn't let him rest until he called. Let me ask you, would you say that lifted my spirits quite a bit that day or not? I'm telling you, I took a chairlift ride from the valley of depression to the mountaintop of joy, just like that, because God's supernatural power had been shown to me and had touched my life. Let me tell you, friends, Mary saw God's supernatural power. But it was all by grace. And it was all by grace when God touched me that day. I had not done one thing to receive it. Not one thing did I do to earn it. It was all by God's grace. And any time you experience God's power in your life, dear friends, it is by grace. You didn't deserve it. God gave it to you. All by grace. Well, that's not all. Grace gave Mary the delight of His presence and the display of His power. But there's something else that God gave Mary through grace that we see here. And that was the deference to His plan. I want you to look at the response. When the angel spoke to Mary, notice what Mary said to the angel. Verse 38, look at it. The angel said, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Now we delve into a great mystery right here. Mary submitted her life to the perfect plan of God. She responded, and here's what she literally said. She said, "Behold, the slave girl of the Lord." That is a literal translation. The translation is, "I am the slave of the Lord." She saw herself as a slave. She sold out as a slave to her Heavenly Father. She gave up her right to have a husband if necessary. She gave up her right to have security of a family if necessary. She gave up her right to have a good name, which she never had in some people's eyes. Her only purpose in life was to fulfill the will of her Master, God Almighty. But get this, she did all this by grace. It was God's favor, God's grace that gave her the strength to do it. She couldn't have done it without God's grace on her life. I want you to listen carefully. Some of you may be thinking this morning, we've gone all through this stuff about the delight of God's presence and the demonstration of His power in our lives. And you may be thinking, you know, that sounds good, but I just don't see that happening in my life day by day. I don't sense the power of His presence. I don't sense the joy, the display of His power. I wish I do. I wish I did, but I just don't. Well, let me tell you, if you're not experiencing the joy of His presence and His power, this may be the reason why. It may be because you have never submitted like Mary. You've got your own plans for your life. And so far, you've not taken up the attitude of Mary. You've not said, "Behold, the slave of the Lord." Mary could have done that. She could have said, Gabriel said, "You're going to bear the Son of God." Mary could have said, "No thanks, Gabe. I've got my plans and that's not part of them. I'm not interested." But she did not do that. And because she didn't, she was more blessed than anybody in the world. Listen, ladies, God's blessed you. But let me tell you, Mary was more blessed than any other woman who ever lived. That's what Gabriel said. He said, "Blessed are you among women." But what has she had? What if she had said no? She'd have missed God's blessing of being the most blessed woman in all the world. Now you can't take Mary's place in being the most blessed, but you can be blessed. And men, you can. You can. Let me tell you something. There's no greater honor than having that joy. Now, think about this. There's no greater honor than being chosen by God for a special task to represent Him on this earth in His behalf. That's what she was doing. That's grace, friends. God could have used any little teenage girl, but He chose Mary. And that was an honor beyond compare. You might remember a story I've mentioned before about something that happened to me when I was in seminary way back in the early 80s. I was at Mid-America Seminary. I had been there a few months, maybe, I'm not sure, it's my first or second year. I took a class with about 70 or 80 people in it. And it was taught by the one of the most popular professors on campus. But I don't think I'd ever met him before I entered his class. So I'm sitting there in this guy's class, Charlie Grigsby, popular professor. And one day he walks up to me and he says, "Hey, Mike, I need to ask you to do a favor. Not going to be in class on a certain day. I want you to get the class going. I want you to just get up, tell the folks I'm not here, introduce the speaker, have prayer, turn it over to him. Will you do this for me?" I'm telling you, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but I just couldn't believe he asked me to do that. I mean, a brand new student, out of 70 or 80 people, he says, "I want you to do it." Why? Grace. Just pick me. What an honor to do that. And he even wrote me a thank you note after I did it. You know, I thought to myself, that's just like Jesus. That's just like Jesus. Jesus picks us out by His grace to represent Him and do a task for Him. And then we do it. And then after that, at the judgment seat of Christ, He says, thank you. Oh, listen. What an honor. But back to my story. Listen, when Charlie Grigsby asked me, I had a choice. I could have said, yes, Charlie. No, Charlie. I obviously said yes. And you know what? I got a blessing. Friends, listen. When God reaches down to touch your life, to call you, you can receive a wonderful blessing. It's an honor to serve God. And He will bless you when you, like Mary, say, yes, I will. But I want you to understand something about this. Listen carefully now. When God puts a call on your life to serve Him by grace, it is bigger than you are. It's bigger than you are. Listen, we've been talking about grace all morning. And you can be sure that whatever call God lays on your life, it can't be accomplished in any other way except by His grace. Listen, that call was surely bigger than Mary, was it not? I mean, how could have Mary birthed God's Son by herself? She had to have the supernatural power of God on her life. Here's what Michael Card had to say about this. Michael Card said this, God's call on Mary's life is an impossible demand. The call of God always is. To become obedient to His call always means becoming a slave to the impossible. You let that sink in. To be obedient to God's call means becoming a slave to the impossible. You know what I wish? I wish every child of God could get a hold of that. God has something for you that's bigger than you are. And unless God's grace falls on you, you will never accomplish it. And you know what I wish? I wish every church could understand that. I wish, as Grants Creek Baptist Church, we could understand. God has a call upon us that we can't accomplish apart from His grace. God has stuff out there that we have not the resources for unless He provides them by His grace. Something our human eyes can't see. Something our pockets can't come up with. But God's grace can. Listen, that's the way David Brainerd lived his life. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians in the early 18th century. Here's what David Brainerd said. He said, Lord, let me accomplish something for You that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. Do you get what he's saying? He's saying, God, let me do something for You that I could never do on my own. You have to give me Your power and Your grace. That's how I want to live. I don't know about you. That's how I want to live. That's the way Mary lived. That's the way God wants all of us to live. Paul understood this. Here's what Paul said. Paul accomplished more for the kingdom than anybody who ever lived. Here's what he said to the Corinthians. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. In other words, Paul said, everything I am is by God's grace. Paul says, it's really not me that had the desire or did the work. God put the desire in me, and God gave me the ability to do the work. So you see, in the end, beloved, who gets the glory? God gets all the glory because God is the one who gave us the desire and God is the one who gave us the strength to do it. So, it's all of grace. But I've got a question I must ask you as we kind of wrap this thing up. Do I have anything to do with it at all? It's all of grace. Well, the fact of the matter is, in God's mysterious plan, we do have a response we must make. It's a twofold response. It's a twofold response. You know, you might be here this morning and you do not have the assurance that you belong to God. You see, it's very possible that you could be like many who have grown up in church all your life. And you know these Christmas stories and the Easter stories and the other stories about Jesus as well as the preacher that's preaching them. And you believe them. You believe they're true. And you have perhaps even come down this aisle and been baptized. And all that's good. But let me tell you, that will not get you one inch off the ground toward heaven. Because you see, that's not God's plan. We are all guilty sinners. And the only remedy for our guilt is the blood of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Big word. It just simply means a satisfying sacrifice. The blood of God's Son was a satisfying sacrifice for our sins. And you've never been radically changed by Jesus. You may have never been radically changed. You know all the answers. You understand that He alone can fix your problem, but He's never saved you. Let me tell you what your remedy is. Your remedy to be radically changed is just simply to come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I believe everything the Bible says about You. I believe You can cleanse me from my sin. And now I want You to do it. I want You to cleanse me by faith alone in what You did at Calvary. But I not only want You to cleanse me, I want You to rule in my life. I'm not coming for fire insurance. I'm coming for someone to take control. I'm coming just like Mary. I'm coming to say, I am the servant of the Lord. When you come to Jesus in that manner and you throw yourself on His mercy, I want to tell you, dear friend, just like that, He will supernaturally change your life and you'll be saved by His grace. And some of you need to make that commitment, perhaps, because you've never been supernaturally changed. Now, let me tell you, if you do, you'll still have struggles. You'll still fight those battles. But you know what you'll do? You'll start winning a few of them. And you'll start winning more than you lose. And you will glorify God because you have given yourself totally to Jesus Christ and trusted no one but Him to take you to heaven. What about you who are saved? Do you have a part in it? You absolutely do. You have a part in receiving grace. You know, you may be here and you need the grace of God on your life today because you just hadn't seen much of this supernatural stuff happening. You've been saying no, not yes, like Mary said. Maybe you've been so out of touch with God you can't even hear Him calling. Well, I'll tell you, today Jesus is saying, I want to pour out grace on you. And you're saying, if you receive it, Lord, I receive that grace. I'm ready, dear Jesus, to say, behold, the servant of God. Behold, the slave of God. Lord, pour it out. Let me glorify You in my life. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. Whatever You say, I will do. I will follow. Like David Brainerd, do something in me that is so fantastic, it is disproportionately to who I am. A few weeks ago, I ran across a statement that is profound. I want you to listen to it. Somebody wrote it. I don't know who wrote it, but I got it in my Bible in one of the fly leaves. Here's what it says. The people who believe that God will do what He has promised to do are the people God will use to do what He has promised to do. Did you hear that? The people who believe that God will do what He's promised to do in this Word are the people God will use to do what He's promised. That is truth, friends. Do you believe it? If you do, He will let you be a part of changing this world. So I want to ask you, will you let God change you by saying, Lord, here I am, just like Mary. And then you can see God use you to change this world.